dark day for America.
Crews continue to try to reclaim the bodies of John Kennedy Jr.,
most popular of America's political royalty.
The Kennedy and Bessette family bury the crash victims at sea.
20 years after his death, there's a new book out entitled America's Reluctant Prince, The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr. His friend, Stephen Gillen, joins us right now. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you.
You know, it's been 20 years. You look back. What's the first thing that comes to mind with John?
Oh, I miss his sense of humor. One of the things that, in private, you always laughed when you were with John. He had so much energy, so much love of life. You know, being with John was like drinking 8 espressos. I mean, he just energized people around him, and that's what I think of. I think of, don't dwell on his death. I dwell on the life that he lived, and the warmth and the generosity and the humor that he brought to my life.
The great struggle in John's life was what? You write about it in your book.
It was to create his own identity separate from that of his family, separate from that of his father. John told me that he was two people, that he was just John, a typical privileged member of his generation. But he played a role his entire life, and that role was as John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., the son of a beloved slain president. So John, he wanted to know who he was, separate from all these expectations that had been imposed upon him. You know, that day, on November 25th, 1963, on his third birthday, when he salutes his father's casket, I think all the unfulfilled hopes and expectations of his father's presidency transferred to John. And people saw John as the person who was one day was going to bring Camelot back to life. And John grew up with all those expectations imposed upon him by his family, by the public. And John needed to, and he needed to forge his own identity separate from that. And I think that's the great achievement of John's life. When we think about the Kennedys, we think of all the public service, and we think of public accomplishments. But with John, his greatest accomplishment was private. It was his ability to forge his own identity in the wake of all these expectations that were imposed upon him. And he turned out to be an incredibly normal, unpretentious, decent, generous human being.
Right. I think that's why we all could relate. We're talking with Stephen Gillen. The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr., America's Reluctant Prince is the name of the book. Let's go back to 1999, the final year of his life. How stressed was John Jr.? All the different threads in his life are coming to a head. George Magazine losing money, his marriage, according to tabloids, on the rocks. Should he run for political office? What was it like?
I think those last couple months of John's life were among the most difficult he had experienced. And one of the things I want to do in the book is humanize John. You know, I don't want people just to remember him as this guy who is on the cover of magazines. John was very much like the rest of us. I mean, he struggled with a lot of things. And as you mentioned, in that last year, his marriage was in a very difficult spot. John was living at the Stanhope Hotel those last 2 nights before he died. George Magazine, Hachette, his business partner, had told him that they were pulling out, and so John was flying around the country trying to raise money. And I think what weighed on John the most was his best friend and cousin, Anthony Rodswell, was dying of cancer. So these are really difficult. And the thing is, I knew John during that period, and I knew these things were going on. I never understood just how bad it was. Because John, you would never know it. Despite that, the burden of dealing with all these problems, John never lost his love of life and his sense of humor.
Well, he wanted George Magazine to be to politics what Rolling Stone was to music, but are politics that sexy, or was it that sexy?
It's the whole idea behind George. You know, John lived his life at the intersection between politics and popular culture. So his idea was, John had this very noble notion that politics was a noble profession, and that most of the people who go into politics were good people with good intentions. He saw how the media turned his uncle, Ted, into this caricature. It was nothing like the person he knew. So John wanted to humanize these people, and George was the vehicle for doing that. I think it was a very naive idea, and the magazine never really found that sweet spot.
Stephen, the biggest story of 1999 was, of course, the Clinton impeachment. George Magazine didn't touch it. Why was that?
Well, they did some minor stories, but this hit home for John. At this point, we knew that his father had engaged in behavior that went far beyond what Bill Clinton did. And so John did not want Clinton to be judged based on his personal behavior, just as he did not want his father to be judged based on his personal behavior. So he was really reluctant to pursue the story. And the staff, the editors kept pushing him and pushing him, but John just did not want to go there. John believed that presidents should be judged by their policies and by what the hope that they give the country, and not based on their personal behavior. So it was a really difficult story for John to cover.
Did you like John's wife, Carolyn Kennedy?
I didn't know her very well. I had a really odd encounter with her, which I talk about in the book, where I was standing in their kitchen reading a letter that Hachette had written John, which is a scathing letter. And Carolyn was just screaming at John. To me, she seemed unhinged. So I didn't know her well enough to form an opinion about whether I liked her or not, but she was in a really difficult spot. Paparazzi were abusing her, and their relationship was spiraling out of control.
Stephen Gillen, a few more minutes with Stephen Gillen, The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr., America's Reluctant Prince. I want to ask you about two more things. Kennedy's odd relationship with the tabloid press. He didn't like being in the spotlight, but when he wasn't in, he followed People magazine and Page Six, and when he wasn't in the spotlight, he would run over to Central Park and take off his shirt, and he would know for sure that he would be on Page Six or in People.
That's right. His mom was the same way, that they wanted their privacy when they wanted it, but they really wanted to make sure they were still in the news. So I used to call John, I used to tell him he was reverse Superman, that Superman goes into a phone booth and puts his uniform on, John goes into a phone booth and takes his shirt off.
The guy was always in the spotlight. Did he like being in the spotlight, or didn't he like being in the spotlight? Because I can't tell.
It's a double-edged sword. I think, he did. He did not want to fade away. He had grown up being in the spotlight. It was just woven into the fabric of his life.
Sure.
So, yeah. It was under control until he got married. And John really believed that once he got married, that a lot of the paparazzi would go away, that he was no longer the America's most eligible bachelor. He wouldn't be the sexiest man alive anymore. But instead, the interest just intensified, and it became really difficult for him once he got married, because Carolyn was struggling with the paparazzi.
Right.
And John
was
fiercely protective of her.
The press conference outside Jackie O's building when Jackie passed away, John walked out, was very stoic, very matter-of-fact, gave the info, no emotion. It was like he had a job to do to tell America that his mother had died, and then he walked away. I feel like there was two sides to John. There was the public side, the very stoic, and then there was the private, fun John.
Well, that's exactly right. John told me that he was two people, that he was just John, another privileged member of his generation, but he had a role to play, and the role he had to play was as John F. Kennedy Jr., the son of the beloved slain president. So in public, that's the role that he played. In private, he was completely different. I mean, John, the thing I remember most about John is his sense of humor. He was just funny. He was a great mimic. He liked making fun of people, especially me. He liked being the brunt of a joke. But he let his guard down in private. But in public, he played that role. He was John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., and that's the role he played. He went back into the apartment, and he broke down and cried.
20 years later, people are still deeply affected by John's death. Why is that?
I think especially for that generation that knew his father and remembered the salute. Saw John. For them, John was more than just a celebrity. He had all this other sort of emotions that were tied into that. So I think John was more than just a celebrity. I think for a younger generation, he was a celebrity. But for an older generation, he represented so much more. And that's why when John died, it was a double death. It was not only did John die, but Camelot died with him. And any hope that Camelot would be revived died with him. So we mourned John, and we also mourned his father once again.
You write in the book, when he salutes the casket, you believe that's when the burden of the Kennedy legacy gets transferred to John. I mean, this is a wonderful book. The A&E documentary was great. The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr., America's Reluctant Prince. Here we are 20 years later, and it just seems like yesterday. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thank you.